Well, 2017 may be coming back to haunt us from a tax perspective to a certain extent. The 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did allow for some fairness, I guess, for farm businesses in terms of lowering the corporate tax rate from 31 to 21% for some pass-through entities. Chuck Spencer is the expert on this. And so, as I understand it, that bill will sunset at the end of the year unless Congress acts. Is that correct?
Andy, you are correct. That was our perspective. And the recent action by Congress, when they passed what they titled as the Big Beautiful Bill, but what everybody looks at as the tax bill, and was signed July 4th there by President Trump, actually included the provisions that will permanently extend the Section 199 AG. And I know it's a really very interesting title there. But as you pointed out, in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, there was permanent extension of the corporate tax rate at 21%. And then, because of budgetary caps, they put personal tax rates and then tax rate for what cooperatives work with to expire here December 31st of 2025. And very fortunately, Congress is able to take action and pass this legislation that is very beneficial to agriculture. And I know there's a lot of opinions on the tax bill that exist, and that's certainly something that everybody has the right to hold. I'm just going to say, though, that if you and I go through all the different aspects of this tax bill and what it means for agriculture and what was included in it, it's almost a no-brainer to say that it is good that it passed for agriculture.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about the Section 199 AG and the fairness issue that you were concerned about that I guess just got solved.
Yes, I think that's something that has a history. Actually, Senator Grassley, back in 2004, put together a provision in tax code called the Domestic Production Activities Deduction. Doesn't that sound in somewhat similar to where we're at today when you would want to stimulate domestic production activities in the United States? And what they decided was, of course, that sounds very simple for someone who manufactures widgets and other componentry. But in 2005, it was determined that farmers are part of the manufacturing process, or agriculture. So when we're producing our commodities, we're actually producing products. And then what was allowed was the cooperative systems, which are farmer-owned. The farmer owners were able to utilize this tax deduction. And it actually offsets wages. And a lot of farmers may not have a lot of wages to utilize, but in their cooperative system, they would have wages to then qualify for this formulaic provision that had been used since 2005. And then when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act came along, there was a proposal embedded within that larger bill that decided to change the regulation and court cases that actually formed this very specific provision. And then what they did is they put it in statute, which then had that expiration date here of 2025 in December. And we were able, in the tax bill that was passed recently, to make it permanent. And what that means is a large benefit to farmers. Across this country, there are varieties of agricultural cooperatives. And it's been estimated by the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives to be over $2 billion of value to farmers. And so farmers sit on these boards of directors. They make the governance decisions of how the cooperative is going to invest their funds or whether they're going to get it back in patronage and cash. And then the farmers are in control, which actually does help this type of framework compete on a very level playing field with the corporate tax rate. It's set at 21%.
Awesome. So I imagine that it's a bit of a relief here to kind of move past this issue.
You know something, it is one of those moments which are celebratory, and then people already are looking to say, well, what else are you going to do for me here? Because our commodity prices are low. And we do have that understanding. I mean, there is everybody involved in agriculture, and I'm sure that you're talking about it quite a bit.
Oh,
And
yeah.
the people hauling their grain to the elevators here recently are certainly looking at the board of the pricing. And it's not in a favorable moment. This is a low point, though, in the 5 and 10 year rolling averages for commodity prices, but that doesn't do us any good if we've got to sell. And my point is this, is that we have to have these types of tax provisions that are being helpful to get more money to the farmers with the businesses that they do. Input costs are going up. They continue to seemingly creep up. Land values are staying very firm as I watch the land sales across the country. And there's always those special instances of 1031 exchanges from high-value land to others, but that's still pressure on our land prices. And then we have to make sure that the commodity prices go up. So I understand those are points that we have to stay focused on, but they do need legislatively to take this moment and actually celebrate a tax provision, which includes all of our individual rates, Andy. I mean, that's farmers' individual tax rates too. They were in temporary status and could have easily went up, which I know has been billed as the largest tax increase that would have accumulatively taken effect. And instead, what we've had is the opportunity to extend what we have and what we've known for the last 4.5 years permanently into the future or until Congress makes their change. And I think that's something where you take that moment to celebrate. I happened to be on the team that was able to put in the renewable fuel standard back in the 2005 and 7 timeframe. And that was another moment where I think agriculture needed to take a moment and say, hey, you know what? I'm really happy about this. And then you go, you know, clap a couple times, and then you go, all right, now what are we going to do next? Because we've got a challenge in front of us. So let's get back to work.
Chuck, we appreciate it as always. Great stuff.
Thank you.